Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Carson and Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast for Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. On the show today, Salt takes his baby to her first and last Boston Marathon. Annie makes some new friends at the bar while dancing on the floor. And I met two pretty amazing brothers, one participating in the Boston Marathon for his 20th year in a row, and his brother doing it for the first time ever. Kennedy, let's go back to the finish yesterday. You were there, right there in the grandstands.
I had a real opportunity to stand right there, and it was something else. The women's winner came through, and then the men's final. My goodness.
The elite men, right? Yes. Down to
the
finish
wire
line.
Yes.
Unbelievable finish.
One block to go. Toronto.
Toronto turning it on in the final seconds. They both are. Oh, it's going to be a photo finish at the Boston Marathon. Oh, my gosh. And it's Toronto with the victory.
Elise's legs just gave out in the last 2 seconds there.
That. I don't know. I like Miguel's call of it last hour with Annie at the bar.
It's a marathon.
Kick the other guy.
Yeah, kid.
One kick. It's a marathon.
This is all I could say.
So I was at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. I host a big event for Spalding and their Race for Rehab team. They have almost 100 runners. They raised over $800,000.
So amazing.
And one of the guys that ran is Clinton Fowler. It was his first race, okay? And I have some audio of talking to him. But also his brother participated for the 20th year in a row in a wheelchair. So I started with him, with Jason, and talking about how the weather from yesterday affected the race.
I got a email message on Thursday saying, you can defer a year if you don't want to deal with the weather conditions. And so we're like, the first thing that came to mind was, like, it can't be as bad as last year. Like, it just can't be. And so right away that was like, you know what? I just believed that there was just no way it could be as bad as last year. And I was like, I went out and got all waterproof gear and everything. So I was ready.
And then it happened this morning. You're like, oh gosh, maybe I cursed myself. It looks so bad out there.
We got on the bus at 5:45 this morning and it was just unloading. We're going to the start and we're going through puddles that would have like engulfed our wheelchairs.
How fast are you going on the chairs down some of the biggest hills?
Yeah, so it probably 34, 35 miles an hour. And you can imagine we're in 12-pound chairs, 14-pound chairs, and our wheels are about a half or an inch wide. And so you hit a brake at 30 miles an hour, and it's wet, you're just going to skid. Like, there's no stopping. The start was a little bit gnarly because you can imagine 60 chairs all starting at once, and you're inches from the guy next to you. And so it got dicey, but I just knew, I've done a bunch of these, that you know, you got to just take it easy. It's the first half mile. Like, the race is not won in the first half mile. So
I want to talk to you about doing this before. Tell everybody how many times you've done the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, today was my 20th Boston Marathon and somewhere around my 40th marathon. This is over 25 years.
Why? Why do you keep coming back?
That's a really good question. You know what? The agreement I made with myself was anytime I'm in Boston, home, I'm going to do the race. And if I'm able to qualify, I should be able to do it. I feel like it's a blessing to be able to do it, no matter who you are, no matter what body shape, no matter if I use a wheelchair or whatever it is. If you get out there and feel the energy, which I got my brother sitting next to me, it's just first marathon ever. I mean, there are people out there last year. This year is a little different because the conditions weren't as tough. But last year that were, I think they were suffering more than I were. You know, like, their umbrellas are sideways. And like, everybody goes through their struggle. And mine, I feel like, is less than a lot of people. So if I can get out there and run, like, why not?
Wow.
What an incredible story, right?
Holy
smokes, man. So many inspiring stories that you saw yesterday. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, watching the Boston Marathon every year, it never gets old watching people help one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many instances you saw people stop running to help somebody else mm-hmm. finish, you know, cross the finish yeah. line mm-hmm. that was struggling. Mm-hmm. So they gave up whatever, you know, PR they might have had or whatever to watch to help people cross.
So that's Jason Fowler. I actually found a story on him. They did a story on ESPN about him because he was a rock star motorcycle racer and had an accident as a teenager. He was sponsored. He was on the way to a big career. And then after the injury happened and the accident happened, he turned his focus to this.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then, so his brother was also there running for Spalding. His name is Clinton. And I asked him, you know, here it is, the first Boston Marathon. What was it like for you?
I had no idea what to expect, so it was pretty rough. I would have liked it to rain the whole way.
Got a little warm and muggy.
It did. When it hit 70 degrees in the middle of the race, that was pretty hard. Yeah. But the thing that, I mean, I grew up here in Boston, and the last 5 miles are amazing. The energy at five and six deep with people, and people just yelling you along. You get, you know, into the mental pain cave, and somebody will yell your name, and instantaneously you're just like, all right, I gotta keep going. So
I saw a sign that said my mascara runs faster than you do, and that was just such a Boston thing to say. I loved it. Were there any signs out there that you saw when you were running?
The number of Kiss Me signs in that location is pretty off the charts. It's totally insane.
All right, well, let me put you in an awkward position. Are you coming back next year? Are you going to do it again?
Cool. I don't know.
Come on, your brother is only ahead of you by 19.
You know, him doing it for his 20th was the impetus. If he could do it 20, I could do it once, right? That's hard. And I think about the number of times he's done it, the number of triathlons he's done, and just goes into that pain cave and repeatedly chooses to do so.
Right.
I don't know. That one, I do a lot of cycling. It's different. Running just beats you. So right now I'm happy with that one. But in a week, I'm sure the adrenaline will be there and I'll be like, all right, let's go for this.
Well, it's good to meet you both. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Jason and Clinton Fowler there. Just an incredible story.
What a great story.
And Jason listens to the show, by the way, Kennedy.
Hey, Jason.
He is a big fan.
How you doing?
Yeah, so just meeting those guys and hearing their story.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good stuff.
Good dudes.
So if you were down there yesterday supporting people who ran, or you volunteered, or you just went to watch, you know, even if you didn't know anybody,
mm-hmm.
or you participated, congratulations to you. What a day.
Yeah, seriously.
What a fantastic day. Every year I go down there and I think, oh, I couldn't be more inspired than I was last year.
And then
you go down there again and you meet more people and hear more stories.
It's the best thing about this city. It really is the best day because it is so Boston. It's guys coming out and just supporting each other, and that's all that really matters.
Especially in short shorts.
Exactly.
So many short shorts yesterday.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Apparently, we have some funny audio from Annie, who was at the baseball game yesterday for Marathon Monday. Red Sox lose again.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll move on past that. And then you decided to hit the bars outside of Fenway after the game.
Yeah, I had a bit of a day. So I got to tell you, when I first walked into the game, I went because I thought my sister and my friend were on the Sam Adams deck. They weren't. They were on the Coca-Cola deck.
Oh, so
this is how I started my day.
That was at Fenway.
They are two separate decks, too. One has a lot of booze and one does not.
And they're on opposite sides of the field.
Absolutely.
So that's how I started my day, having to walk all the way across Fenway.
Oh.
Ugh, so hard.
But the people that ran 26 miles yesterday,
I might as well.
I had to walk all the way from one side of Fenway to the other, Kennedy. Do you know how long I had to train to do that?
Years
of training.
I was throwing bows.
I had to pass by 17 peanut vendors.
Two hot lights spilling everywhere. Oh.
22 hot dogs.
The despair. And then I went to the baseball tavern afterwards. The line was at least 35 minutes. And usually I don't wait in lines, but I was like, it's Marathon Monday. There's going to be a line everywhere.
Oh, my God. Right. Sarah and I walked through Lansdowne Street, and we saw lines. Like, they were the most ridiculous lines I've ever seen.
It
was crazy.
People are cutting each other. Then I'm yelling at other people. There's like 19-year-olds in front of me. It was a disaster. Finally get into the bar.
Okay.
And then there's a girl fight, which I hate to see.
Were you involved in it?
I was not.
Was there hair pulling? Like, because that's always the worst part.
There was hair pulling, and then I felt a beer hit my face, and I was like, did I do something? Did I do something? Wasn't me this time. But the floor got so soaking wet, and I was dancing, and I fell. And then I didn't want the bouncer to think I was like drunk and kick me out, so I pretended to pray.
So clearly you are drunk.
Obviously.
That was your line of thinking.
You got to be kidding me.
Wait, what? Hold on. I want to hear this audio, but wait, you thought praying in the middle of a bar.
Yeah. I
you slipped, so were like you on your knees, were you like genuflecting? Were you like praying like to like, Allah? How were you praying?
On my knees, just hands together. I was like
praying out loud.
I was having a moment, you know?
Okay.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, please don't kick me out of the baseball tavern.
Please don't kick me out of the baseball tavern.
Please, Lord, baby Jesus.
I'll be good.
They'd be looking at you like, what have we let into this place?
Oh, please.
No, they were like, they weren't caring about any of it yesterday. Like,
no,
whatever.
All right,
so what is this audio?
So then I ran into three people. They were dancing. They were having a time, and I just had to ask them what they were doing.
So I'm here in Marathon Monday. Who am I here with? Lindsay.
Miguel. And T.
How are we feeling today?
We're feeling awesome.
Can you ran a marathon? Do you feel like you ran a marathon?
I feel like I ran a marathon of beer. I actually went to work in the morning, and then I met up with them. They went to the Sox game, and here I am, and I'm dancing my ass off, and I love it.
Well, I drank a marathon to start it off at 10 a.m.
Wow.
So that, yeah. Miguel, was worse than me. I was looking at him.
Was he
like,
praying a lot too?
You know when people aren't looking at you, they're looking through you?
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Love it.
Well, I drank a marathon to start it off at 10 a.m., had a breakfast sandwich, watched the Red Sox, saw someone outkick another guy on the marathon. That's called a marathon. I mean, I don't know what else.
What?
Outkick the finish.
Oh, he was talking about the finish.
About the finish.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's called a marathon. It's a marathon.
It's an outkick and finish the marathon.
Who knew there was a winner?
Who?
How strange.
I think I could make a living translating drunk speech.
I think you could.
I really could.
Saw someone outkick another guy on a marathon. That's called a marathon. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
I don't even know what else to do.
I don't know what to say. That's a marathon.
Miguel, you said it perfectly. Thank you.
It's called a marathon.
Someone outkick another guy on a marathon. That's called a marathon. I don't know what else there is. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm listening to the boss.
Overall, it's been a tremendous day. Got to see the Sox play. Fortunately, they didn't come up with a W, but we're going to reposition and get everything there.
Oh, there's a serious guy who's sober.
That's the friend.
Yeah.
He's drunk, but he wants to be.
He's trying to compose himself.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not fun. That's not fun.
Overall, it's been a tremendous day. Got to see the Sox play. Fortunately, they didn't come up with a W, but we're going to reposition and get everything there. Dancing our butts off on the dance floor now, so that's what it comes down to.
Do you think we should all run the marathon together next year? We'll try.
Well, I love your outfit, so yes.
What?
I believe Miguel will run the marathon next year, and he will outkick the guy next to him.
Miguel was loving my fanny pack. He was like, I just love your whole vibe. I'm like, thanks, Miguel.
We'll try.
Well, I love your outfit, so yes. Training starts tomorrow.
Like I said, I think he's going to follow through. Like this morning, Miguel's like, I don't know why I'm running, but I think I told somebody yesterday with a fanny pack and a bandana on that we're running the marathon.
All of a sudden, he turned into Chris Farley.
Starts tomorrow.
Let's do it.
Training starts tomorrow. I love it.
Training starts tomorrow.
That's
they
awesome.
Were amazing.
That
really
was good
were.
Stuff, Annie. Good stuff.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
We've asked producer Dan to join us in the studio this morning because we're going to try and give you a cautionary tale.
Okay.
Don't make the same mistakes we've made.
What are you talking about?
He hasn't filed his taxes yet.
What?
And he says he's not going to file them.
You're good.
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff on TV right now. I've been super busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like your taxes are like super got to go to an accountant and pull out stuff and this, that, and the other thing.
What are you saying, Kennedy?
Well, you're like me. It's an easy form. There's nothing else to do.
Is he, though?
I don't have any investments or any property that I own anymore.
Well, think about Dan, though, because now he's an independent businessman.
Yeah, but that's cash under the table, so let's not talk about it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Dan's like,
just
no.
Saying.
He doesn't have a business just yet.
Why don't you want to file, Dan?
I'm just going full Wesley Snipes. Catch me if you can.
Now, is this a situation where in the past...
Didn't end well for him, just FYI.
With your...
really, I never caught the end.
Yeah, Lori Loughlin says, hey.
I think he's still in prison.
Mike Sorrentino, Dan.
What? No, like, is
we're going to have a situation.
Like, in the past, have you gotten money back?
I usually get a little bit back. Not a ton, but a little bit, yeah.
So you realize that the government has money they want to give you. They've already taken it from you. It's actually your money.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want it back right now.
I mean, it'll come back eventually. I'll get there.
No,
it won't, actually, because I learned this lesson. I didn't file my taxes. And after 4 years, if they owe you money, they don't give you the money back. Mm-hmm. They just keep it.
And there's a late penalty for filing, too.
Well, you didn't file for 4 years?
Oh, Mr. Judgy McJudgerson over there who says he doesn't want to file?
I got like a day. 4 years is a long time.
I did. I waited 4 years.
Yeah, but like one day could be like the difference of, say, it's $150 or something like that. That's some money, man.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yes.
The minute you don't file, you're late. And then you got to pay a fee.
Well, that you don't pay a fee. They just give you less. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All you right. pay a fee. If you owe, you pay. Yeah. You know, it's.
Well, he's not going to owe. They owe you.
He doesn't know. He hasn't even done it yet.
He might.
I've never owed them.
We don't know what he claims.
A ton of money.
Yeah. He could claim 73
I got six
dependents.
Kids. Yeah. He could claim six you know, kids.
You're claimed. What are you talking about? You live with your parents. They probably claim you.
The guy's got 14 nicknames. Of course he's got 27 kids.
I have a burgeoning rap career. That's
yes. Sure. He's got an entourage that he has to take care of. Those are dependents.
Right. I own the Funky Bunch now. They're not cheap.
Yes.
Will you please file? Don't do what I did.
I know.
Don't
I really
make the
have
same
to.
Mistakes I've made.
Yeah, there are many numerous websites out there that you can file right away. I use one of them. I have for years.
Just get robocalls.
I got my 2016 refund yesterday in the mail.
What?
Dude.
What's wrong with you people?
It was a mess. I don't even want to talk about it. And then my accountant actually called last night at 9:30 to tell me 2017 was done and 2018 will be done today.
Your accountant's like, I haven't slept in weeks.
Right?
I
know.
He has a beautiful home on the Cape now because of us and all the back work he's had to do for my family.
Not that I would advocate it, but you could fill out your taxes before 7 o'clock
and get it done.
You could get it done before 7 o'clock.
Not if you want all of the stuff for the show done.
No, that's how easy it would be for you. Could still do all the stuff for the show and do your taxes.
That's why they call it 1040 Easy.
The name of the form is called
literally
Easy.
Easy.
Did you not know that?
No.
It's called.
And you don't even have to do a form anymore because they'll just digitally send it in for you.
Yes, and once you've gone with one of these websites and put in your W-2, it will remember you. And then next year, mm-hmm. you don't have to fill in anything because, you know, the Russians, it just goes and gets it and puts it there for you. And literally, button, money.
It might be in your bank account by the time the show ends today. Yeah. That's how quickly they could do it now.
Pretty sure that, you know, your address is not going to change next year. Everything's going to be the same. So
you file this morning, within 72 hours, you'll have money in your bank.
Mm-hmm. 2020 money's coming at you.
You've got money in the bank.
2019 is a crazy time.
Dan's like, I feel like you haven't filed taxes in a long time because all of this is not like new this year. This is all like five years old.
Did you file last year?
Yeah.
Dan?
I was off in my business all the time.
You bring your business to us. I'm sorry.
You're in the job of chairing your business, Dan.
You know what the sad part is? The government would go after you and try and audit you because you haven't filed your taxes and you might owe like $35, something like that.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's the sad part.
They Carson
we want
level
that
petty.
$35 from you.
They Carson Level Petty of the IRS. Mm-hmm.
They tried to come at me with this big letter that said you owe all of this money and it was the opposite way. They're trying to scare you. They're trying to scare you, Dan. Go do it.
Yeah, I believe in you. I'll help you do it after the show if you want.
All right. Sounds good.
I don't know if Kennedy's the one that you want to go to for tax advice.
Why? My taxes are always on point. That's it. That's the one thing I know how to do well.
That's where she's thriving.
That's where I thrive.
What she does when she gets the money that is the issue.
Thank you, Dan. You get me.
And she can't drive you to the accountant's office either.
You don't need an accountant. We can do it right here. No driving
necessary.
We're
going to go online.
TurboTax.
There it is.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Obviously, we were all paying attention yesterday to the Boston Marathon, but just some tragic news from France. The Notre Dame Cathedral in France caught fire yesterday. It is an 856-year-old church, Kennedy. I don't know if you've ever been there before.
I have,
You have been there?
I've been there, without sounding like an idiot, I've been there a couple times.
Oh, really?
Well, we lived in Germany.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like going to Rhode Island to go to Paris.
Sure.
And I worked for a company that did tours. So I had the opportunity to go. I went in high school, too. And like, I mean, it's just where you go when you go to Paris. You go, you see the Eiffel Tower.
It's a striking
You sit in the
visage.
Jewelries and you go to Notre Dame and you walk the stairs and you do the whole thing. And it's just the most heartbreaking thing to look at.
I think one of the tough things to watch when I got home last night and watching the news was the top, and when the spire, when the spire came down, and you're getting all this video from just regular people on the street, and their cell phone video, and you can hear the gasps of people that are there watching it happen in real time. It was heartbreaking.
The crowd was singing Ave Maria, though, and so you know the resilience is there.
Yeah,
it's a structure that has withstood wars and everything. You know, I think that something will come of this.
Yeah.
You know, will it be different? Yes, of course. But, you know.
But I also think it's awesome that if you have to look at the silver lining, nobody was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody
that
was inside,
is incredible.
And they had pulled a bunch of the art because it was being rehabbed. So because it's filled with art and amazing things. And so,
over 13 million people visit it each year. It was expecting 1,000 people for Easter Sunday Mass.
Wow.
They were expecting, normally they get about, I think I read 30,000 people a week is pretty normal.
Yeah.
And this year they were expecting around 50,000, obviously, because Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And
Salma Hayek's husband, he's pledged 100 million euros, that's 113 million U.S.
Oh, really?
To rehab and restore the church.
He and his family is remarkable.
They're billionaires. He's a billionaire, but he's already come out and said it, and it's been in multiple publications saying, this is what we're going to do. We are not going to, it's not going to go without being restored.
Right. I can't imagine what it's going to take to rebuild, too. Some of those beams were put in the 1200s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, technology's advanced to the point that you think that it would be easier, but, the craftsmanship that would need to go into to replace those things.
They will finally have high-speed internet.
There you go.
So that'll be silver lining there. So.
And get solar panels on
Top. Maybe.
Jeez. A coffee shop.
It's so modern.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Starbucks.
You got to pay for it somehow, buddy.
Exactly.
That is so sad.
He's going to want his money back, just saying.
Naming rights.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
The Church of Notre Dame.
Brought to you by.
Brought to you by.
Fire brought to you by.
That would be so American.
Yahoo. Yeah. Mm.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.